It's good to be back here, and I want to thank my brother Canon Kim for inviting me to come and preach here. This church, your church, is a very special church for me. This is the first church that I visited in 2007 when I came to Canada as a visiting lecturer at Wycliffe College, Toronto. And since then, I have been coming here. Each time I came, my brother Canon Kim would invite me to come and preach. It's become almost home to me when I'm in Canada. My children, Bayo, who is in the congregation here, sitting somewhere with Caroline and John, she's there. They've been here. I want to appreciate a lot the support that I've received from you as a congregation and as individuals. Canon Kim, you were in Tanzania last year, and you've been there, I think, more than once. The mission teams from your church here have come to Tarime to see us and to support our ministry. And I want to thank you so much, my brother, because we all know that churches that get involved in international mission or mission within the vicinity of the neighborhoods, those are the churches that will always have any meaningful ministry, both within and far away. I want to thank you so much for looking after this congregation and for making them have mission as one of their key areas of work. And I want to thank you also for the support for the water project. You know, in the past where we live, tap water is a luxury for only a few people. And in the Diocese of Tarime, we have undertaken to provide water to harvest it through the roof and put it on the using the gutters in all the churches that we've built. We've built and roofed almost 16 churches in the last 4 years, and we find that we can then use them for harvesting water, and that will give the clergy family good drinking water if they can also boil it. We haven't gone to a point of filtering it to make it 100% good, but that is better than the water you get from the well and from the streams, which is always very contaminated. So this is going to be a huge support. We've done 13 of those in the last, again, 3-4 years, and we're still continuing. And that water is not used only by the clergy family or the church members, but also by the women in the community. Tarime has rainfall. There's plenty of it twice a year. So the ladies in the community can also come and take drinking water. During the dry season, then we ask them to leave it to the clergy family because they need that probably in the summer. So I want to thank you so much for this and for many other things that you have done with your people here in this congregation. I wouldn't be mentioning names a lot because if I did, then I would leave out somebody who probably is very important and has done a lot for me and my family. But just to mention John and Caroline, who provided their home for our daughters, Mbayo and Mugure. Mugure has now gone back, but Mbayo is here. She's come back to study at Tyndale University College. So that, again, I think is the result of how this community, how this church congregation has been brought up and has been nurtured by Canon Kim over the last few years, and I want to thank you very much, brother. I came this time, this is probably my shortest visit in Canada, because I came to give an annual lecture, mission lecture at Wycliffe College, which I did on the 31st. And then tomorrow I'll be going to lead a retreat for the senior clergy at the Diocese of Algoma. We'll be there for 2 days. And thereafter, maybe a few things in Toronto, and then I go back to Tanzania. So in this shortest visit, God has made it possible for me to come here. And I'm not going to be preaching anywhere else except here at St. Paul's. So thank you for having me again. The text before us, the gospel reading, is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not so much the resurrection of Lazarus, who was raised by Jesus, but the word that Jesus tells Mary and Martha there is a statement of his own resurrection. I'm the resurrection and the life. And the story actually, for me, is not so much about Lazarus, but about Mary and Martha. And if we look at it closely, Mary is asking Jesus the same question that Martha had asked Jesus before. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's a continuation of the conversation from verses 32 to 44. It's a continuation of a conversation from verses 17 to 27 about the raising of Lazarus. So sure, Lazarus is dead. He's a brother to the two sisters, Martha and Mary. But in fact, the story has more to do with the two sisters, even more than Lazarus himself. It is about the encounter between Jesus and the two sisters, about their faith. So Martha goes first and meets Jesus as he approaches their home. Mary is at home, I guess, with those who came to console them for the loss of their loved one. And the question that Mary put to Jesus is the same, or the statement that he makes to Jesus as he greets him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is a question of faith. It's not a question of blame, because Jesus was a friend to the family, and particularly knowing the two sisters. But you are struck by the response that Jesus had. To Martha first, I am the resurrection and the life. And for Mary, when he repeats the same question, he asks, where have you laid him? Jesus went to the tomb. Actually, it was a cave with a stone lying against it. Now, on this All Saints Celebration Day, all of us here will have different experiences of our loved ones who have passed away. I remember in 1998, when my sister passed away, I was studying in Britain. And I could not go home because I didn't have a ticket. But also, I was in the middle of my doctoral research, and I didn't have the opportunity to travel, even if I had a ticket, because I was doing the final bits of my work at Edinburgh. And a year later, I went home and found my mother and my father there. It didn't look like my father was so struck by the death of the last born to my mother. But my mother did. She was very struck. And you could almost feel like she's saying the same thing here. She said to me, my son, I don't know if I could have done more, or maybe if you had been here, things would have been different. Not raising her from the dead, but maybe giving me more support. And it was so interesting that she was struggling to see whether she could have done more to prevent our sister from dying. Our sister went to visit relatives about 20 kilometers away, and then she came home unconscious. So my mother didn't know what happened to her. And she was with her for about 12 hours, and then she passed away. So she was asking, I don't know whether I could have rushed her to the hospital, but again, in the village somewhere there in Africa or in Tanzania, she didn't have a car, so there would be maybe a stretcher, maybe two people with a bicycle or two bicycles and a stretcher in the middle, taking her to the hospital, which is 20 kilometers away. So I said to her, maybe there's nothing you could have done. The fact that you didn't have a chance to talk to your daughter, that she died so fast, doesn't have to make you feel guilty. But I guess that is very human. We all kind of feel like that. Maybe there's more we could have done. And more striking was that my mother the family had to take the body to a cemetery a long way. If you're familiar with the African context, we don't bury people in cemeteries a lot. We bury them within the home. Only those who are living in towns and cities are the ones who are not allowed to bury their loved ones at home. So they had to take the body to almost another maybe 15 kilometers away to a Catholic cemetery. And in order to help my mother, I had to go with her to the graveside, to the grave, and put on my robes and make a prayer in order to help her to cope with the death or the loss. Because the priest was away, and then the catechist or the lay minister, the lay leader of the church, was somehow lazy, if you like, and did not actually support my mother very well. So as a son, and who is a priest at that time, 1998 and 99, I had to go and then say prayers to say to my mother, believe that your daughter and my sister will still live forever, because this is what Jesus says even to Mary and Martha. So I guess in this passage here, the story, even though it's Lazarus who is being raised from the dead, but the story is more about the two sisters. That's why even for Mary, the question that Jesus puts to her is, didn't I say if you believed, you would see God's glory? So I guess that is a kind of the question Jesus would say or put to all of us. If you believed, you would see God's glory. And of course, Martha and Mary, very distraught. You see Mary even preventing Jesus from removing the stone when he commands them to say, take the stone out. And then Martha would say, but she's been in the grave for 4 days. There might be a bad smell there. But Jesus continues adamantly saying, didn't I say to you, if you believed? So I guess the question here is about believing. And for some of us, the loved one we've lost, very dear to us, in Africa, for example, I see this many, many times. In July, I lost a priest who was working with me in the office, a very key person, and the widow was distraught. We had a space of about 1 week, the person going from Tarime, Canon Kimi, you'd know where Tarime is, to Dar es Salaam, is 1,000 kilometers away. I rushed him to go to a cardiac center, and within 7 days, he was dead. And his wife was distraught. She could just not withstand even participating in the funeral. She was floppy. She was almost, the world had ended. And for people in my context, for example, you guys here, you have a different way of approach. Death is going to strike all of us, death of our loved ones. In society like US here, you got funeral undertakers, you got those who are celebrating their lives. And therefore, there's a way in which a family may have some support. In my part of the world, when people die, it is the family and relatives who will have to form a funeral committee and deal with that. So for us, for this priest, we had to bear a lot of cost, take the body from Dar es Salaam, pay a huge bill, and then get the body to Tarime, which is a long way, fly to Mwanza, south of the lake, and then to the diocese, and then deal with the funeral. With the kind of expenses and the kind of income that the church has, that was quite devastating to all of us. But then she passed away. So when men die, in my context, the widows in Africa will go through a lot of challenges. Some relative will come and say, now this house belongs to my brother, this house belongs to my son, get out of here. So losing the loved one, particularly women in my part of the world, when they lose their husband, then the life changes completely. And that has a lot of challenges and stress. For this particular widow of the priest, she had 2 children going to high school, a 3rd one going to continue with elementary school. So as a diocese, even with our little income, we say to her, don't worry about that. We're going to take care of that. Now you're going to be mourning your husband, who has died very suddenly. But with the children, we will send them to school, and then we'll find ways of looking after them until they finish high school and maybe university. So you can see there are a lot of issues when our loved ones go. It's not just that death has occurred. There's a lot of issues related to that. But I want to say this. I said this to the widow of this priest. I say, look, life must continue. Because the thing you can't do is to raise your husband from the dead. But there's a man who will do it. A man who has promised to do it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the dead is central to our faith in a way that nothing else is like that. And this is why we are Christians. If there was no resurrection of the dead, then I guess we would not be Christians. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a tremendous amount of God's word there, where Paul is debating with himself. The Corinthians thought that the dead will not rise. They will never be raised. So Paul is going at a great length a whole chapter talking about the resurrection of the dead. Paul is saying, well, let's just make a joke that the dead would not be raised. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 21-23, he's saying, well, if the dead would not be raised, then our faith is in vain. What are we believing? But then Paul says, well, the good news is Jesus rose from the dead, and he is the first fruit of those who have departed. And we know that we're not going to be getting the privilege that Martha and Mary had, because their brother was raised on spot, on the spot. Now, our loved ones have gone. So what do? We have to do what Jesus said to Mary and Martha. We must continue to believe, and believing that the dead will rise, which is tied up with the second coming of Christ, that Christ will come again, and those of us, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, those of us who are alive will not get there before those who are departed. When I think about this, personally, and not only just my sister who died, I lost my father, 2007, I lost my mother, 2014, and even prior to that, in 2003, we lost our third child, who was the last one. I said to my wife and myself, I said, no, we're going to have no more children. We got two. God have given us a gift of two children, and that is enough. But it was so traumatic to my wife, because she was pregnant for 10 months. And then she went to the hospital, and during the cesarean section, the child could not get out. The breath ran out of the baby, and the baby passed away. So I was so sympathetic to my wife, because she had been pregnant for 10 months, going into the hospital, having cesarean, coming home without a baby. But then I said to her, look, sometimes it's not just the ordinary Christians who are sitting in the pew who are going through this, including clergy, including bishops. We too have to believe. The same message that God is giving to all of us, that is the message that we have to spread, that our faith in God and in Jesus Christ is anchored or based in this fact that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who die believing in me will live forever, and those who live and believe in me will never die forever. What a statement. What an encouragement. So, brothers and sisters, let us continue to believe, because this is the message that Jesus gave to Mary and Martha during their loss of their brother. May God bless you. God continue to keep you. And one of the things also, just to insert this into my sermon here, that one of the ways that I encourage people to think about their loved ones and to remember them is by serving God, by participating in what the church is doing. This church here, St. Paul's on the Hill, has a plenty of things that we could do in remembrance of our loved ones. I undertook to remember my mother, who died in 2014, by putting tiles on the church in my home village, back in the village, just to make sure that that will be a little thing that I do to help myself and my family to remember my mother. I guess we have plenty of opportunities as we leave and wait for our own resurrection when we are no longer here, in order to show that we respect and remember our loved ones in various ways. So may God bless you. We see each other again. If we don't see each other here on earth or here in Toronto or in Tarime, I say goodbye. See you in heaven. God bless you. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.